Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Before I get started, I'm going to do some business. The business is, like normal, head over to Facebook. You can like the page. You can comment on the page. You can share the page. Whatever you want to do over there. It's cool. Then head over to Twitter. Or Twitter handle is @comesnaturalpod. You can follow us on there. We will follow you back. We will comment and stuff. We will tweet at you, that fun stuff. Then head over to iTunes. You can subscribe to the show so it gets automatically downloaded every Wednesday and Friday when the new episodes come out. And then you can rate that. You can review it. You can share it with your friends. You can also post that stuff on Twitter and Facebook. That would help a lot for the show. And then head over to blogtalkradio.com/comesnaturally. You can hang out there, comment on stuff, listen to all the different shows, as well as find other places to download. If you don't use iTunes, you can get the direct download from there. You can find other links and stuff for each episode, as well as the show itself. And let's start it off. Welcome to The Awesome with Cody. I am Cody, and this week's topic, continue with our horror theme. I talked about it last week, kind of came up with the idea on the show, horror comedy. So last week I was talking about Evil Dead and how Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness and a lot of stuff that followed those were more humorous than they were scary. So I thought to myself, hey, why don't you do a couple different awesome horror comedies? So guess what today is? Horror comedy. So I picked five of my favorites to talk about. There are many others. I had like 10 or 12 and I just eliminated down because I want to keep this to about the 30 minute mark or so. So I'll try to pace myself a little bit to keep these five in there, but I think it should be pretty okay. First up that I chose, and these aren't in any particular order, per se, like favorite to least favorite or least favorite to most favorite. I just picked a bunch and then eliminated the ones I didn't want, and then now I'm going through them. So first up will be Zombieland. If you guys remember, Zombieland came out in 2009. This movie, I think, hit a lot of people differently than they thought they were going to. I say that because a lot of people don't. I don't think a lot of people thought of it as a movie they would enjoy. And I think it came early on in the zombie craze, and had a lot of stuff that followed it that I don't think ever captured the gloriousness that this movie found, because it fantastic, first off. It is just one of the funniest things ever, and it's just ridiculous. It makes sense because it's written by the same guys who wrote Deadpool, and I think Deadpool 2, amongst other things. Don't go by their other list of movies that they did, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, because they did some terrible stuff before this. Like Paul Wernick wrote G.I. Joe Retaliation, the second one. That movie's terrible, so don't go by what they've done in the past. Look what they did in the past this, but also just look at the stuff that's similar to it and you'll understand what I mean by it. But it's hilarious. There's some scary stuff in it, but it's not like one of those, like, you know, oh my god, I'm having nightmares. There's some pretty funny jump scares, a notable cameo. If you guys haven't seen this movie, it does have everybody's favorite Ghostbuster, Bill Murray, in it. It's pretty hilarious. The cast is really small. For the most part, just four people. Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, which, by the way, Woody Harrelson plays the best part in this, because he plays Tallahassee, and he's amazing. It has Emma Stone, everyone's favorite. Emma Stone. I would say Emma, but it's not true. It's not true. There's a lot of awesome Emmas out there. Then Abigail Breslin would be the main four. The cool thing with this one is it's partially narrated by Columbus is his name, is the character's name, Jesse Eisenberg, and he kind of breaks down the rules of the world we live in, and gives you, sorry about the sniffling, guys, my nose is stuffed up, but the cool thing about this is this it sets this world up that seems to have, obviously it's zombie infested, but it has this like game show aspect to it, where like people are keeping score and you don't really know if it's true or not. Like, it's hard to say, but the big thing is the whole giving numbers of the rules. If you guys remember, if you haven't seen this, I'm not gonna ruin footing for you, but because I'm trying not to spoil anything on this show here, unlike the other show where I just mouth off whatever the fuck I want and I say shit that I probably shouldn't. But there's this whole list of ways to rules to survive the zombie world, and it's basically just Columbus, Jesse Eisenberg's character, has come up with these rules of his ways to live out this world they live in, and it's, he gives you these, like, he tells you it. It's like a stop motion, the word come on the screen, and they kind of depict on what's going on. It's just, you know, his rules. He has a bunch. You don't hear all of them. They're rattled off a bunch of times in a row, and then they recall them back to this one and that one. But it's pretty awesome because it takes you, I don't want to say take, it's like it's fourth wall breaking, which in a way, it's not like they turn and talk to the camera, so I shouldn't say fourth wall breaking like Deadpool does, where he talks directly to the camera and the audience. It's more of like this retelling of the story, so it's like from his perspective he's retelling you, so it even could be outlandishly overdone too. I mean, none of this stuff could have happened the way he said it did, because we are listening to it from Columbus's point of view. It could just be all lies. He could have just never met Tallahassee. He could have made up that wild person who's just out to get Twinkies. He could have made up Kansas and Wichita. Sorry, I had to scroll their names. Wichita and Little Rock. Kansas, I was thinking Abigail Breslin, but it's Kansas. It's not her name. Little Rock is. Because Little Rock is a town and not a state. They go by cities they come from, not states. And then Bill Murray goes by Bill Murray, because who doesn't know Bill Murray? And then they just have this crazy adventure, so you don't know if he's telling the truth about it or not, but it's still hilarious, all the shit that goes down. And it's funny, because if it is an outlandish telling of the story, he doesn't really come off as a hero very much at all. He gets saved by the female lead, he gets saved by Tallahassee in a way. Tallahassee is Woody Harrelson's character, and he's amazing in the whole thing. He's super hilarious and kind of fits in this world a little too well. He's just way too mentally prepared for what's going on in this a crazy post-apocalyptic world that everyone's living in. So I think it's pretty awesome, if you ask me. Overall, it was a very enjoyable movie to watch in theaters with a group of people, not just people I know, but like in a movie theater with a bunch of other people, because the parts where everyone laughs at is just phenomenal to experience that fun stuff with, because like it's a group laughing, and like you realize you're not the only weirdo that's laughing at stuff you probably shouldn't laugh at, but it's still really hilarious, but amazing. It's all of those experiences in theaters when you have that enjoyment where it's like, I don't want to say it's dark humor, but there's like some of it to it where it's like inappropriate stuff mostly. To me, there's not much, a whole lot that isn't inappropriate, but it's just a fun time to have because of the situations they're in, like the uncomfortableness and the awkwardness and stuff like that. Super awesome, but well written if you ask me, and just a good amount of fun. And the fact that it doesn't really have a story, it's just telling you the events that happened when these four people ran into each other along the way. It doesn't have a start, it doesn't have an end, really. It doesn't have like this is how the zombie apocalypse happens, this is how it was, how it ended, whatever. It's just boom, nuts, nut up or shut up, as they say, and it's just outlandish fun. It's super awesome. Next up, I mentioned this one last week and rattling off a couple of these, which is the reason I kept it in there, but also love this movie myself. It's Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Now, if you haven't seen this, it doesn't actually shock me, because a lot of people haven't when I bring this up. It was an independent movie. It was released at Sundance in 2010. I had to look it up, sorry. I didn't get a chance to see it in theaters because it was very limited release, and I don't think it came anywhere near me, but I saw previews for it in front of something, and I was like, yes, I'm in, because I love Alan Tudyk. I mean, who doesn't? And I have Tyler Labine. Labine, I can't talk, it's my nose. They're both hilarious. I love Tyler from Reaper, if you ever saw that show. I really enjoyed that show, even in the third season when it started to get kind of terrible. But Alan Tudyk, hey, if you don't like Alan Tudyk, you and I can't be friends, because Alan Tudyk is amazing. He is one of those guys that you don't realize he does a lot of stuff, because he does a lot of voice work. But I love everything he's ever been in. You haven't seen his show, Con Man, which is loosely based on his experience at conventions of all sorts, because he was in a show called Firefly and a movie called Serenity, which is very Star Wars, Star Trek, I'd say more Star Trek, made by Joss Whedon. And it was just super awesome, way beyond its time. It should have come out later, but it was in its own little thing. But I digress. This movie got me because, I mean, Alan Tudyk and Tyler Labine, I love them so much, and then they're great together, and they play these two down-on-their-luck friends who are just trying to be their own, live their own lives, basically. I'm trying not to spoil anything that happens, but basically, there's only a little bit of spoilers in this one, I'm sorry, because the way the movie works. So basically, they buy this house, and they're going to go out to it and, like, fix it up, right? Well, they look like backwoods Hicks people. They wear overalls and stained shirts and trucker hats that are worn down, and they talk with a draw because they're Southern, and all they want to do is have a good time, like, go out here and drink in the woods and fish and, you know, relax. They run into these teenagers, they're teenagers, air quotes, young adults, who mistake them for backwoods psychopaths, and every time they interact, something goes awry where death is on its way, and terrible things happen to some of the other group, the pretty people, and they die horrible ways because they think they're getting attacked by Tucker and or Dale, but actually they're not. They're just they're minding their own business, and they go out crazy, and accidents happen. One gets impaled on a branch of a downed tree. I was trying to say log, but it's not a log. It's actually on the branch. I was going to say limb, but it's a branch. It's a big, thick branch. And sprays blood all over. I want to say it's Dale. It gets blood splattered. Doesn't matter. And then they're out fishing. They see the one of the girls like swimming, and she goes to dive in the water. She hits her head, and they try to save her, and they think they're dragging her away, so they come after him. It's just super hilarious because they mistake him for being backwoods psychopaths, killers, and all these things, and it's just super hilarious that way, to me at least, and obviously to other people too, because I know a couple people who've seen this, and they think the same thing is just super hilarious, and the gore is top-notch, to tell you the truth, I think it's really funny, and it has this weird tone to it where it has the look and feel of a horror movie, and then has these hilarious accidents, and like the cop trying to, it's just, you have to watch it for how awesome it actually is, but you know, take my word for it and watch it, and you'll also enjoy it if you like dark humor and stuff like that. It's really amazing. And then next up, my random list of awesome horror comedy movies is Beetlejuice. I love this movie. I am a little bit of a Tim Burton fan. I've watched all of his movies. I enjoy, I think, all of them. I mean, there's a lot of people go, oh, you know, how can you like blah, blah. Like, Batman's, if you ask me, Batman and Batman Returns are definitely not what I would say are Tim Burton movies. There's Tim Burton all over them, but I don't consider them Tim Burton movies because the fact that he didn't really, it's not his stuff. It's not something he created. He created stuff around it. It's just not the same. He didn't, you know, it's not a world he developed in his own head. He didn't write it. He didn't write the story or the screenplay. He just gave the visual cues and made this ridiculous Gotham City look to it. And then of course Joel Schumacher came along and drastically ruined the following sequels. I'll watch them, but they're like tough to enjoy, if you know what I mean. But anyways, I like Tim Burton because of the crazy stuff that he does. A lot of his movies get shit on because they're Tim Burton movies, which I don't understand because people love Tim Burton, but then they like to shit on him when he does things that like are mainstream, like when he did Alice in Wonderland or he did Dark Shadows. And then there's other movies that you forget that are his movies, and it's funny to remember. The dude's done a lot of stuff. He's produced a fuck ton of stuff too. Like that's just that list is way longer than most people think it is. But so the crazy thing about this, about Beetlejuice is, I'm like, actually, we'll talk about Tim Burton another time because he's awesome in his own right, and I'll just do that in a month. It's like his birthday or something. I don't know. Which could even be this month. Makes sense. He's, you know, if he was born in October, it'd actually be pretty fitting. Nope, born in August, so fuck that, we'll do it later. But Beetlejuice, to me, is one of the best movies ever. Michael Keaton is, by far one of the best roles he's ever played in this. But it has Alec Baldwin, it's got Gina Davis, it's got Winona Ryder. Obviously, Michael Keaton, I said that already. Catherine O'Hara, she's amazing in this too. She's just a fucking, she's a raging bitch the entire time. It's super hilarious. But just the craziness that this whole thing built around. And I have to go back. When I was talking about he didn't write or create or write the story or screenplay for Batman, I didn't mean it because he didn't create it. He didn't create this either. This is written by somebody, some other people. What I meant is he was playing in a world that was already a known thing. Like Batman's was around for many years before he got his fingers on that. He just was chosen for his art style and the way he does things. And I think he did a good job with the Batman movies. But with Beetlejuice, they came to him and they let him do his thing. So a lot of the Tim Burton details you see in a lot of his movies, Edward Scissorhands, and a lot of those things, that like dark, drab look of like pale but colorful and weirdly shaped things. Like when you go, so if you look at Edward Scissorhands and you look at what he's like, the house he lived in, the castle he lived in where he was created, the lawn art sculptors, like the hedges and stuff that he created, and the interior of the castle, that's very Tim Burton-ish. It's very bizarre. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen the documentary made about the Superman movie he almost made, The Death of Superman, you should see that documentary, because you actually get to see in his house and you'll realize what I'm talking about, because he lives in what you imagine his mind looks like. It's really awesome. Plus, it's very candid. You don't really get too much Tim Burton candid interviews on anything, really, because he's kind of like he doesn't like press and stuff like that, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, I digress. Back to Beetlejuice. aesthetically, it's Tim Burton for sure. The story, if you didn't know any better, you'd think, oh, it's definitely something he wrote, but it's not. It's not something he wrote. The humor in this is some of the funniest stuff. One of my favorite lines is right after they meet Beetlejuice for the first time. The Maitlands. So Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis, when they first meet him, they're in the model set. He brings them in, and they have this little thing, and they go away. And he turns and sees they're gone. He's like, "Hey!" And he walks over the street. And he goes, "Hey!" And he kicks it over. And he says, "Nice fucking model." A drops an F bomb in a PG-13 movie, so that's awesome. Because that's allowed. You get one, and as long as you're not talking about sex, and you're, it's just like a, you know, use it that way. It's not referring to sex or a sex act. It's pretty awesome. But the visuals in it are cool. The slow-mo, the stop motion, just the little things. And of course, again, Michael Keaton's what makes this, because he's amazing as Beetlejuice. And then they made the cartoon. I wasn't a real big fan of the cartoon because it didn't have the same feel to it. I like the animation style of the cartoon, though, with like the oversized big heads that everybody had and stuff. Anyways, so I think Beetlejuice is awesome. Because Michael Keaton, it's one of his best roles of all time, including Batman, Bruce Wayne Batman. But Beetlejuice will always be his crowning achievement, if you ask me. And I've seen a lot of his movies, but Beetlejuice character Beetlejuice, you know, he brought that to life, and is that, to me, it will always be Beetlejuice. And if they ever do actually remake this, it's going to be a shame, because there's no way it will ever be as good as this, the first original was. And if they bring him back, if they bring everybody back for the sequel, I'm in. If they remake this, I'm going to burn everybody to the ground, because you can't remake it. It's one of those movies you just can't do. No matter what, it's just one of those movies you just, it was too good for the time. And if you make it now, you'll try to do too much to it, and I was thinking it'll work the same. That's what I say. Next up, I also brought this up last week during my thought process of, oh, what can I do? And I use this as a reference because it's totally in vain with The Evil Dead, and this is Cabin in the Woods. If you haven't seen Cabin in the Woods, shame on you. I've said this before about other things, but truly, shame on you, because this movie is fantastic. It is so much different than you think it is. I legitimately thought this was a horror movie when I went to go see it. Drew Goddard and Joss Whedon wrote this. Drew Goddard directed it. Joss produced it. Drew used to work for Joss on Buffy and Angel, as screenwriters, Drew worked for him as a writer on the show, as well as visual effects or something. I could look it up. I'm not going to. It doesn't matter. I'm not here to show off, talk about Drew Goddard's career. You know, he's done some amazing stuff besides this. He has. You should look it up. It's awesome. Anyways, this movie, So if you don't know the backstory of this movie, they wrote this screenplay in 3 days. Now, when I say that, you're like, oh, this must be garbage. No, it is an amalgamation. It's like an homage film in a way to so many things because of what happens. I'm going to spoil this for you. And like I said earlier, I'm not trying not to. I'm going to spoiler of this one too. It is a movie that basically basically uses all the different horror movie tropes and villain and bad guys and monsters and creatures and killers and makes this weird, disjointed, supernatural thing. So basically, in this world that Cabin in the Woods takes place in, all those creatures exist. How and where they come from, no clue. But what the whole premise of this movie is, this group of teenagers, I believe it's six of them, including Thor, go to the woods, the cabin in the woods, hence the name of the movie. They are going to go there to fuck, basically. One is going to there to smoke just a shit ton of weed. The other ones, I guess there would be five then, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thor. Yeah, it's five. And they're all friends from college. They go there to kill, you know, to blow off steam. And at the beginning of the movie, it starts off completely insane because you think it's going to show, like, a murder at this cabin. It's these two dudes in this industrial underground driving in a cart talking about their lives. You're like, I'm really confused on what's going on. They're like, oh, like, in my head at least, I was like, oh, this must be, like, an outbreak of, like, this is a place that's holding this psycho mutant killer or whatever, like, this virus is going to get out, right? Nope. They run a sacrifice for these gods. You find this later, but basically they're the engineers to engineer the sacrifice of these archetype characters, the virgin, the hero, the whatever they are, you know, like this, like, lady, man, joker, blah, 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 right? So there's sacrifices. So they engineer this in a way, and you find out later on that they're not the only people to do it. Every country has one. So Japan is in it. They talk about, like South America somewhere too. It's ridiculous the way they do it, but they, in a way, rig it so that they have these archetypes of characters. Cause, like, you see Chris Hemsworth and you're like, oh, he's a jock, right? And then, like, there's this comment about, like, oh, since when are you, like, that into football or something? Like, whatever. Cause he's, like, talking about, like, science and shit. And, like, it's, anyways, they rig this so, like, they fall in line with these archetypes from the horror movies that we all love out there, you know, like the dumb strong jock, the nerd, the chaste virgin, the sluts, and then they go to this cabin. They basically are sort of tricked into choosing the what's gonna kill them. And so the funny part to me, well, there's tons of funny stuff, but one of the things, you find out that the people running this test from this underground thing where you see these guys from are betting on what monster is going to kill them. It is amazing. Dare I say awesome. It's super funny. It is so violent. It's hilariously violent. It's legit scary movie effects. And, like, done where it's supposed to look scary, which is amazing to me. But anyways, Cabin in the Woods, awesome movie. I highly recommend it. It's just a good time. If you've never seen it, again, shame on you. You should see it for sure. It's just amazing. I love the movie so much. It was so good. It's one of those things where I want more, but it's so original and so awesome that it can't have more, otherwise it will ruin it. And also the way it ends, you can't really have a sequel. Spoiler. Everybody dies. Literally everybody dies. It's awesome. Last and not least, I will say, of all the ones I picked, even the ones I got rid of, this is probably gonna be my favorite of all of them. This is Shaun of the Dead. So, Shaun of the Dead features one of my favorite people of all time, Simon Pegg, and Nick Frost. Nick Frost I love too. Simon Pegg I love no matter what. Nick Frost and I have, like, a, you know, doppelganger type thing going on. We're both big guys, both have beards. He's super British. I am not even close. But Simon Pegg, I love everything he's in. He's in Star Trek. He wrote the last one, which is, I didn't doubt he would do a good job. I just didn't know how. And he did a fantastic job, by the way. But he's amazing in everything he does. Even the sad stuff that he does, I still like a lot because I just like him in general. He's a really good actor. But this is one of the brainchild, well, the first movie brainchild, really, of Edgar Wright, who has done so many amazing things. He did a show called Spaced, which so many people have not seen. It's ridiculous, but his first movie was A Fistful of Fingers. Super hard movie to find if you haven't seen it, which doesn't shock me because almost nobody has seen it. I think it's, I'm trying to look up the where it came from. Doesn't matter, we're not talking about that one, but that was his first movie. He's done other things. Shaun of the Dead is part of a trilogy movies. So it was Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End. Sorry, I almost burped. That was gross. And all three of them are fantastic. They're all three different type movies. And the reason they're trilogy, it's not like a traditional trilogy. The characters don't span over. It's like an anthology, but using the same actors as different roles, drastically different movies. One is a zombie movie, amazing zombie movie, by the way. One is an action movie, and the last one's like a sci-fi movie, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, sci-fi type thing. The best part is, they're all three homages to movies of their ilk, but in a way that is like super meta because they talk about it in the movie. And I'll explain what I mean by this. Shaun of the Dead, they reference other stuff that's other movies and other pop culture stuff. At one point, I think he's playing Resident Evil, I think, too. I think is what it was. Anyways, I can't remember if it was or not. I should. Oh, my favorite. But Hot Fuzz does it by far in it because the Nick Frost character is in it, loves action movies, like obsessed with them, and then it turns into basis action movie. And then World's End has this ridiculous tale of like lost friendship and then like this weird sci-fi body snatchers thing, really weird way on it, but amazing in its own right. But Shaun of the Dead, super hilarious, super, I can't say it's scary, and I never said these are scary movies, I said horror movies, because they are dealing with horror stuff, zombies, it is this uprising in the zombie apocalypse, in a small English town, and then it's basically him trying to survive and kind of get with his ex-girlfriend who is kind of fed up with his dead-end career and life and blah, blah, blah. Amazing the way they do it. It's super funny. Has a bunch of people you recognize in it besides those two. You may not know them by name, but you'll recognize them for sure. Bill Nye is in it. Not Bill Nye, but Bill Nye is the British guy. It doesn't matter. He's in it. He plays Sean's stepdad. And these really quotable things. And if you ever go to a comic book convention, you're going to see someone dressed like Sean from Shaun of the Dead almost every time. Pretty much guaranteed. It's going to be a guy in black pants, black suit pants, slacks, a white shirt, hopefully they have red hair, if not, it's fine, and they have a speckle of red on them, and if you say you got red on you, if this person's good, like I said last week, the whole Ash thing, they will say something like, yes, I know, and it's a thing from the movie. Amazing movie in its own rights, super funny, really good sequences in this, like, really, like, girl, a guy has girl, guy loses girl, guy gets girl back way. But the whole thing is the beginning of this weird trilogy that Edgar Wright made, but I think one of the best, if not the best, I think it's the best, I think I said it already, my favorite horror comedy movie on there. I might have, I picked that one first because I was going through and I was like, oh, this one, and that was like the first one I picked, so that's why I kept it last, but also because it's my favorite and I wanted to outshine all the other ones I talked about. Anyways, that's it for this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. And again, like I always say at the end of the episodes, even though this is like episode 3, let's be awesome. All right, guys, chat you later.